Okay, fine. Both sides. See, Chovalev, page 84. Page 84. Simon Tofnan, Aleph Siv Chovalev. We're still discussing the Lachos of Golas Kalim. Tonight is a very important one. Very important one. We're going to be learning Siv Chovalev tonight. And that's the following halacha. Starting off with the Chovios Shalcheres. The starting point is barrels of, the earthenware barrels, which have been filled throughout the year with barley, well, with beer, really. These are containers of beer, which obviously is chametz, obviously, yeah, very much so, yeah. So, they've been filled with, now, but you want to use those barrels for Pesach. So, are you allowed to do hagolah with them or not? Can you just kasher them? And if yes, how? So Shulchan Aruch says, first of all, yes, we're talking about Agola. Yes, you can do Agola with it. You can cash it. And not only that, but here comes quite a big chiddush. Oy be'eru shloisha yomim, a new concept which we have not come across, which is irui shloisha yomim, the pouring of 3 days, very literally. What is that? So firstly, what kind of, firstly, let's talk about the Agola. The Agola, we're learning that we can do Agola with it. That itself needs to be understood, because what kind of material are we talking about? Chovia shel cheres, barrel of cheres, of earthenware. Now, we've spoken about earthenware previously. Well, what about earthenware? Yeah, and can you do hagol? That's right. Absolutely, we can't. That's right. Absolutely correct. We don't normally do hagol on cheres because we're concerned. It does go in, and we're concerned maybe it's not going to do it because of earthenware. We're concerned maybe it's not going to do proper hagol with it because it might break. So Haggolah is fine with metal, and it's fine with other materials, but it's not fine with Klei Cheres. We categorically don't allow Haggolah with earthenware, but over here we are saying that the barrels over here, which have been filled with beer, you can do Haggolah with it, and this earthenware, Chavir Shul Cheres, how suddenly is okay? Mishnah Berurah addresses that question, see if cotton kuf yud zayin. Mutorim Haggolah, hard amrin on Klei Cheres, enu yoytze midudof il oylam, that we said normally we don't do Haggolah with Klei Cheres, hanu dafke shebole de u. That's generally when it entered, the bliyas entered through fire. Aval betzoynon, but when it was just the klecheres just absorbed just through cold, sagule b'agola agola is fine. Mishnah wants to say that if it was the way it got absorbed or with cold, then it's easy to do the hagola, and therefore we can be mekel. So generally, when we said the klecheres. It's no good to the agolas if they entered, the bliyas went through heat. But over here, if it was just used for cold, Mishnah Berurah and Shulchan Aruch says, you can't do hagola. Okay. Yes, it is. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah, that's absolutely, because it's been there for so long. Yeah, so that's true. That if it lasts for so long inside it, So Mishnah Berurah said that's why Shloish Yomim works. That's why Shloish Yomim works. This is Mishnah Berurah said Zevkotn Kuvit Ches. How did that work? Shloish Yomim Mikuvit Ches. Shloish Yomim Dahainu. How do you do that? And what's the kashering process for beer which was in barrels for many many days? How do you kasher that? So irui shloisha yomim. Either hagolah or irui shloisha yomim. Well, how does that work? Irui shloisha yomim. Hainu kshemaleinu mayim. You pour water in it. So now you fill it with water. You've taken the beer out. I assume you drank it. And then now you fill it with water. Afilu tzenenim. It could be freezing cold water. Al gedoisav. Al kol gedoisav. All the way till the top. As a mayim v'imaleinu mayim acherim. And subsequently, you pour more water, and that remains there for 24 hours. So you fill it until it spills over, and you keep it like this for 24 hours. Then, subsequently, you spill it out, you empty it out. After 24 hours, you empty it out, and you refill it now with fresh, clean, clear water. Again, and you keep it in there for 24 hours. V'shloishom es elun, you do that three times. Three times, precisely 24 hours. Yeah. But it does say, V'shloishom es elu ein tzrichim l'yoyz ratzufin. You could, in theory, you could do one day of 24 hours of cold water in there. You have a little break. You pour it out and you have a little break. And then you do second day, you fill it again. You do it again for 24 hours. You empty it out again. Let's say you keep it for a week like this, or for a couple of days, whatever. You fill it a third time, and you keep it like this for 24 hours. This very novel approach of Hagala works for this particular case over here. It's called, it's a rare kind of, an uncommon kind of Hagala, but of kashering, but it is. When you fill it for 3 days full of water, it's called Irui Shloish Yomim, the pouring of 3 days. And that will work. It will not work if the bleis has been absorbed through heat. But what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a barrel which contained beer. And yeah, barley. And that is just a cold kind of bleis. Why dafka three? Has it got with halachas of chazaka? I don't know. I think that, what do you think? Yeah, we do find it at times in glass, yeah, when it's cold. Cold on it, but cold only.
We do it because we're using it during the year, and now we're going to take it to Pesach.
Yeah.
So it's like, it makes it as a recognizable
simon. Oh, I see, as a simon. I didn't know that. Oh, I see. No, I do think it does take beers out. So, what's that? For glass? For glass? Ah, really? That's interesting, yeah. So I don't know if it's as, you're suggesting a hekka. I don't know about that. I'm just raising my hands. I don't know. But I do know with regards to bleas, it also does, because it's a bit of a, it's a very low, well, it's in a way, it's a bit like a berlok achpoltoi. If you do strictly a berlok achpoltoi, what would you do? You just fill it in with water once, and you'd, here it's a more, we're doing it three times, to ensure that everything is out, kind of, all the bleas are out. So it's a kind of mechudish tiga way to get rid of the kovush which is inside it.
Mechudish to me is there no tzad to say sheicha is davacharit?
Interesting.
What's that mean?
We have learned that there is something which is davacharit. If it's something sharp or strong, it requires more to get rid of the bleas, to get rid of the taste. So the suggestion is that maybe it is a bit of davacharit, but there is something about beer which is a bit stronger. And perhaps it would take more. It would require more to get. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Interesting. Why is it not considered a charef? Yeah. Moving on to the Ramah. What happens if you want to do hagola now? So let's say you've got this barrel of beer which you don't want to fill it with water, but you want to do genuine hagola with heat. How do you do that? It's pretty hard to take a barrel and to immerse it and to do hagola with it. Truth is, what we're going to be seeing now applies not just to barrels, but any other large items, such as, what else is hard to do hagola? Absolutely, big bowls. What else? Yeah, the big bowls, really. Yeah, or what we're going to see now is also going to be what we're going to do for items which cannot be moved, but you want to cash them, such as the sink. Sure. How can you cash a sink? How do you cash a sink? You can't remove it. You can't detach it. So how do you do hagola with other very large pots, which are very hard, not practical to do, to immerse it in a klirishin? Normally you do hagola in a klirishin, but you can't. It's too big. You know the ones that are used for simchas? You know these? How do you cash them? Or a sink, same question. You can't move it. You can't move it. So how do you do hagola with those? So the Gemara is going to teach us now how to do it. And this is what we do nowadays as well. If you have a big barrel, a big bowl, or a sink, or anything which is too hard, you can't, it's not practical to immerse it in a klirishin, with bubbling klirishin. How do you do it? How do you do a gola? Yelabein avonim. First you take stones, and you make them burning hot. Yelabein literally means lovon, which means what? White. It's white hot. We don't call it white hot, but that's really what it is. Red hot, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we reach it's extremely hot. The yasimim bohem, and you put now, you take these burning, literally burning stones, and you put them in the barrel. Do you know when you do barbecue, the barbecue that you also, It says you have to wait until it's white. Now the thing is, I mean, they never go white. I don't know, but apparently it's, at one stage it's meant to go white. No. you know what I mean? When it says the part, it's meant to go white. You know why? So that's, it gets a certain, I don't know what it means, chemically, what the stage of when it reaches, is it ash? Is that what it is? So when it's that white heat hot, level, they're white hot. It's a certain, right? Yes, it's after red hot, or I don't know if it's after, but it gets the stage that it's white. So if you have simen bohem and you put those stones in the barrel or in the sink or whatever it is, when you pour hot water, boiling hot water on it, meklirishin for meklirishin. Right? Furthermore, you turn around the chavis, the barrel, shagia gola lekol mokem, that the hagola will reach all the places within. That it should be reaching all the areas. It has to reach all the areas. Full stop. We're going to get to that in a minute. Just finish the Rama over Yevet. However, Bediyevet, im nosne bohem yain oidvash, if you did not do hagola in this barrel, in this beer barrel, you failed to do proper hagola, and you just poured into it wine or honey without having done any hagola prior to that, just rinse it off and you wash it off, but you didn't do hagola in it, you just kind of did a quick rinse. If you placed a bit of wine or honey or anything like that into the barrel, b'diavad, you can use it on Pesach. That's b'diavad. But ideally, we're learning, you've got to do hagola with every melubon. So let's get this clear. How does that really work? How does that really work? It's very interesting. So you take a stone, you put it in the barrel, you put boiling hot water in, and then whoops, magic, it's considered hagola. And that's what we do with the sink as well. Has anybody got experience with a hagola stone? Anybody done it? So how did you do it? What?
Yeah, the one I used, I don't know if I had to do this, but we moved it around the different areas of the sink as we were pouring from the...
Yeah. And was it a metal sink?
Yeah.
Did it break in any way, or it could take an extreme heat? It was fine. Metal can take an extreme heat. Yeah. Right. How did you heat up the stone? Because it's quite hard to get it, put it on the fire. Right. And then how did you hold it? Do you remember, was it like a metal? Well, it's got to be...
I think it had a wooden handle.
A wooden handle, right. Yeah. So that's the way to do it. So the way it really works is that the halachic... how does it work? What does the stone help? Why does it actually help?
Because it gets it boiling hot.
And therefore, but boiling hot, why does boiling hot help? Because what? That's right. That's exactly the point. The point is that, see, a clearition is not only created by having a pot. The conventional clearition is you've got a pot, you've got a fire underneath. And the fire underneath creates the heat that makes this pot into a clearition. Even Meluban is a pretend clearition because the stone is meant to be like the fire, really. It reaches that, basically that. And now, what is the difference if I put the fire underneath the pot or I put the fire in the pot? The oven, the stone, is the equivalent of the fire. It's got basically that heat. Imagine if I would have a stone... No. At a good point. Excellent point. Two answers to your good question. What happens? What would you say? Imagine I've got a very large pot and I've got a hob. And it's fire coming from, and the whole water in the pot, in the saucepan, everything gets hot. Will you say that only the area underneath the fire is a clearition and the other area is not a clearition? Or would you say the whole pot becomes a clearition? What would you say?
I'm trying to think about it. So you've got a pot with water. You've got a pot.
Imagine you've got a pot.
Inside you've got this boiling hot stone. Is that
yes.
What we're saying?
Yeah.
So that stone is.
So what's happening is that you put the stone in the pot and you pour now boiling hot water. You pour boiling water
onto this boiling hot stone.
If it's only going to heat whatever you're casting, the sink or whatever it is that you're casting, only gets hot In and maybe slightly around the stone.
Yeah, but first of all, you're pouring hot water in. So the point is, effectively, what we're doing is that just if you've got, imagine you've got a hob, you've got fire coming from here, and you're putting a large pot of water on top of it. The surface of the pot, say for argument's sake, reaches long beyond and extended from the area where the fire is. The pot goes all the way here, and the fire is merely here. Are you going to say, only this is the clearation, the water over here? And you're going to say, no, it's not clearation because it's not near the fire. Or you're going to say, no, surely the whole cleaner with the entire water is a clearation. Is that what we're going to say, right? In a conventional case with a fire on the bottom. Why? Why are you not going to say, well, the fire is only in this area. Fire doesn't reach those areas, so that's not a clearation.
No, but here you need it to be hot.
So the answer is, because there's fire coming, and it's coming onto the pot, so and the water is everywhere boiling hot, so everything becomes a clearation. Similarly, in the opposite case of the Evan Meluban, there you put the stone into the clearation, so that's the equivalent of the fire. And now I pour water in. The water is hot water, boiling hot water. Now all the water touched the stone and that gets even hotter through the stone. So all the water within that pot has got a level of a clearation, according to that. Does that make sense? So in other words, if this is a saucepan, what's the difference if the fire is over here or if the fire is over here? And the Evan Meluban is the equivalent of a fire. It's like a fire. So who cares if the fire is here or the fire is in a stone in here?
So
it's a big chiddush, I agree.
Or is it doesn't have to touch that every bit of the pot or the sink or whatever.
No, so it depends a bit. How do you understand the following words? V'yare olem roischin meklirishn v'yigalgel achovis she'agir ha'gol lekol mokoyim. You turn it around. V'yigalgel achovis she'agir ha'gol lekol mokoyim. So
that's the water, not the stone. The stone's still in there, is it?
Yeah, the stone is definitely in there.
Stone. Stone's in there.
And then
but there's water now in there.
Absolutely. Boiling of water which reaches all the surface of the entire area. It becomes like a clearation. The truth is, I want to ask you something. I heard this from a dying Zekel Polak in Antwerp when I discussed this with him about 15 years ago. He told me, most of the water kettles, water or urn. Okay, yeah? Now, how does that work? How they heat it? When you switch it on, what happens? Where does the heat come? Pardon? Hot and where's the element? In the base. I don't know, maybe the olden day ones. Yeah, the ones that until we had the five, 10 years ago. The elements was, you know that thing?
Yeah, it had a coil.
Yeah? So where was that? That was inside. Are you going to tell me do you remember those?
Yeah.
It's a bit old fashioned. I just realized they don't look like this anymore, yeah? But you know the element was inside the... Okay, so now I want to ask you, is this a clearation or not? Of course it is, yeah? So are you going to tell me that, excuse me, the element is not underneath it, the element inside says no clearation? Oh, obviously not, it's a clearation. So the element, which is the equivalent of the fire, is inside it, and the whole thing becomes a creation. So that's exactly the equivalent. It's exactly the same. It's identical to an Evan Meluban. Evan Meluban is also fire. You put it inside, and the whole stink becomes a creation. It's the same than the element in the urn.
That's the
pardon?
You see from the fact that you have to...
You have to megalgal. That's just, you know... I don't know if it's ma'akov that it's megalgal. I believe that it's because to ensure that in case... Yeah. We want to make sure that all the water are generally on a clearation.
What we're trying to avoid isn't what we're trying to avoid, that Eroi cleavage, because anyway, you're pouring from cleavage on.
Yeah.
Onto the,
yeah, but that's not good
enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
It needs to be cleavage.
Cleavage mamish, yes. Yeah.
So
we want to make sure that it has that level of cleavage.
Is it that also that the pouring of the hot water onto this stone has such a reaction that it draws out all the...
No, so the pouring itself wouldn't be sufficient. If I would pour in without the stone inside it, that would not be sufficient.
I'm saying with the stone.
With the stone, yeah. Yeah, because you're right. Of course, you're right. If I pour cold water in, it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
I've got it to be a combination of a burning stone and boiling water. Both together create this, being a kliyishin. And that is the best way to kasher the kitchens.
I just use the hot water, pour it around the sink.
Yeah,
in the sink.
Yeah, so, yes, many do, and that's perfectly fine. Some people prefer to use this because some people prefer that. But you're right, Eoi kliyishin is fine as well. The challenge of the Eoi kliyishin is, yeah, what do you want to say? No, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, because how did the sink become a chometz? It was through Eoi, probably, more likely than...
Yeah, so Kibbutz Kechpolt. Yeah, but if it's Eoi, then it's Kibbutz Kechpolt. You can do an Eoi again, it will be fine. Yeah. Yeah, there's only a little bit of a challenge of the Eoi. It's slight, you just need to be aware of it, but it's fine. If you're kashering the kitchen through an Eoi, you just need to make sure that the Hagola only works literally in the surface, in the area where the water got poured. So frequently what happens is that you pour water in one area, and then obviously it spritzes everywhere. And then the only area which really became is that area. So what happens is, and now the water's cooled down already, so now obviously you've got to dry it all and make it absolutely bone dry and go again. And again, only that surface where the water spritzed, where the water went onto, that is the area which was kashered. So it is actually quite a challenge. It's quite a challenge, and a sink alone will take a long time. And it's possible, I've done it many times, it's possible, but it's just some people therefore prefer to do the Evan Maluba method or the blowtorch method, which has got some advantages that you just do it in a short time and it's done. But you're 100% right, the Eoi works. In fact, there's an argument to say that an Eoi work is better even, because there are authorities who question this Evan Maluba for whatever reason a little bit, and nobody questions the Eoi method. So that's...
But it wouldn't be, it's just a... There wouldn't really be, probably most people, you would go to even cover the sink. But you don't really...
Absolutely. Yeah, so this is only, you're right,
yeah.
This is only because that is a chumah, that's the chumah that we mentioned yesterday in Kuftes Vav, that we tend to do two things. After the kashering, if it's something which is going to be in contact with hot chometz, with hot food, and it was hot chometz, so we tend to do two things. We tend to do the kagola, plus covering. We do two things. But you're right, that's a chumah, but that's a very well accepted and common chumah. We tend to do that.
Yeah.
So, but you are right, in theory and in principle, it's super shafit.
Practically speaking, how would you go around? I mean, you just have a certain size stone. I mean,
they're normally quite big. And it is quite dangerous. If people have no experience in it, it's pretty dangerous. It's very dangerous. People have burnt themselves in the past with it. Mind you, for the Eoi also, people...
We just heat that up on the flame.
You do it on the flame, yeah. It's on a flame, but it is. It can be a bit
until it goes white.
Yeah. And people can also break things. Can get damaged as well if you put it on the wrong surface or you can smash a sink. I mean, if you're not people can.
Right.
If it's and the stone is heavy in its own, things can go wrong. So it was safer. Although I must say, it can go wrong as well. If it has to be safe and sound. Yeah.
Wouldn't the best way then be? Theoretically, if you could boil up the water while it's in the sink, and always fill the sink with water and boil it there.
Yeah, if you can do that. How would you do that?
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, in theory, if you can put an element in there. Yeah, I know people who do that. There is such an idea that they take an element. I don't know how you can get those. You can get an element, the same element that used to be in the... I don't know how you get those. The elements that used to be in the urns, and you literally put that in the sink, and then you boil the water in the sink. You close the sink, you keep it in there, and you pour until the water bubbles there.
That's probably the best way.
That's a kliyishin. You've done a kliyishin. You've made a kliyishin out of it.
Just make sure you don't get electrocuted. Right?
Absolutely. You don't make sure, I don't know how it works, but it can be done.
Or scalded.
Right, okay, that's it for this evening. Okay, good evening, good Shabbos.